Swamiji and friends, I am very glad to be associated with this function because of my admiration and respect for you, Swamiji, and for the great order of Sri Ramakrishna, which you so ably represent. Our country is rich in thought, in its philosophy, in its culture. But somehow we have not been able to project these outside or even to all of our own people. Perhaps because so many of us look at these matters rather superficially. But Swami Vivekananda and Swami Ranganathanan have been notable exceptions to this. And the excellent work done by the various branches of the Ramakrishna Mission all over the world have helped to fill in this gap to some extent. There's always been some interest in philosophy and the basic religious teaching. But today, it is not merely the gray-haired who search for reality or the meaning of being. Questions are being asked by millions of young people everywhere. I often talk of progress and modernity. Progress to me means the blossoming and deepening of the human personality, of the individual and also of the nation. Obviously, the evils of poverty and of a stratified society are obstacles and must be removed. However, at every step, we must ensure that this process of attaining a higher material standard of living is not impinging on man's personality or giving him a feeling of alienation from his society, his environment, but on the other hand is helping him to be a participant in development and is enriching his spirit. Does modernity consist merely in using modern amenities or in following certain fashions or aping the more affluent nations? Or should we look for a more profound meaning? Swamiji himself has given the answer in one of these books. He says, that man is modern who is inquisitive, who has a passion for truth and the power of rational investigation, who never takes things for granted, but always strives to get at the heart of things, constantly asks, what next? What next? When I received Swamiji's books late last evening, I picked up the one on eternal values, and by chance it opened when he quotes from the Upanishad, men may roll up the sky like a piece of leather, still there will be no end of sorrow for them without realizing the luminous one within. On the same page follows another quotation, this time from Europe, from Schopenhauer. All men who are secure from want and care, now that at last they have thrown off all other burdens, become a burden to themselves. How true this is. And should we not seek the reason why it should be so? Human beings are quick to find somebody or something to blame. Seeing the world's present predicament, people find fault with science and with technology. The problem is not in the nature of technology, but in the nature of man himself and the value systems which he has made for himself. The habits of generations become entwined in a sort of network of integrated circuits which resist any change. Isn't it time now to disentangle ourselves from all these wires? In contemporary life, in most countries, the accent is on competition, not cooperation. This naturally leads to aggressive and suspicious attitudes within the nation as well as in the international sphere. A man's love for his family does not diminish because he cares deeply for his country. Nor does a man become less of a patriot because while cherishing his country and its culture, he feels concerned for the welfare of humanity as a whole. Man can utilize the vast riches of the earth without despoiling or denuding it. The question before us here in India is how we can make the best use of knowledge and of resources, how we can create an atmosphere of cooperation and harmony. Can we do this unless we consciously attempt to modify the value systems which encourage selfishness or acquisitiveness, and to replace them with others which would seek to advance the interests of the individual along with those of his fellow men, rather than at their cost? We must build our social institutions along principles which will enhance the dignity, the security, and the potential of human life.